Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we want to worship you always, and on this night we have come to worship you because without Christmas there would be no Savior, and without a Savior we would have no hope, no life, and no promise for eternity. And so how fitting it is for us to come. Lord, I thank you for everyone gathered here tonight who took the time to worship you. Speak to us, remind us of your coming. Help us to anticipate your coming again. Lord, may this place be filled with our praise reaching up to you and your Spirit working among us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2 and Titus chapter 2. And if I can have a little more light up here, that would be helpful. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then Titus chapter 2, further back in the New Testament, long after the birth of Jesus, we are reminded of it once again, verses 11 to 14. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." This ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I'm sure many of you have received Christmas cards. I received a Christmas card from one of our shut-ins that had these words on the front: "Savor the beauty and joy of the season. Celebrate the wonder. Remember the reason." If we do nothing else tonight, hopefully we will all leave being reminded through the word and the songs and the scripture the true reason for what tomorrow holds, the celebration of Christmas, the celebration of the birth of a Savior, Jesus Christ. We must remember that Jesus came and he will come again. Advent, which wraps up today, is a time of waiting and anticipating for the celebration of Christmas. The first Advent is over, Jesus has come, but the second Advent is where we find ourselves now, waiting, anticipating the second coming of Jesus. Jesus came. He came on that first Christmas long ago. Now, Jesus is eternal. He's always existed, though it's hard for us to fathom the Trinity, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that his birth did not bring him into being. It was the form that he came to earth. Jesus has always lived. It's just at Christmas that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's when he came. Why did he come? Matthew 1:21 tells us of Mary, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Without a Savior who came, there wouldn't have been a Savior who died, who paid the price for our sin. We often focus on the coming of Jesus for that very reason, the Savior who would redeem us from our sin. And certainly, as we hear from Matthew 1, that is a huge reason for celebrating the coming of the Savior. But it's not the only reason. There's more than just salvation when it comes to the work of Christ. We are saved for something, and we find that in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and following. We are saved so that we can say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, so that we can live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, so that we can be a people purified by God, His very own, eager to do good. We are saved to experience life and life abundant. We are saved by a Savior so that in having a second chance, we can live with hearts of gratitude, with eyes of compassion for those around us, with lives that are witnesses to the true light, Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus came makes an eternal difference for all who repent of their sin and believe in Him. And certainly that is the greatest reason that we have a Savior. You and I can have the most amazing Christmas tomorrow with food and gifts and travel and family time, but we can still miss out on the joy, peace, hope, and love of God that came to us through Christ. The Christ of Christmas is the one who brings us life, eternal life and abundant life. Author and pastor Wayne Brower tells of another life-giving story. In 1944, a Canadian soldier came home to Halifax, Nova Scotia, bringing tuberculosis home along with other war wounds. His 3-year-old son remained healthy, but his wife soon was heading for death, infected by bacteria he transferred. Hospitalized, doctors sought every way to treat her, but a new medicine from Johns Hopkins made her nauseous, and other treatments failed. By late fall, all knew that death was imminent. Weakened to exhaustion, the woman was determined to live at least until Christmas. She even begged her doctor to be given leave to go home for a few hours on Christmas Day, should she survive that long. Knowing that it would not happen, the doctor smiled and nodded. But last, she did. And on Christmas Day, against all medical warnings, the doctor reluctantly allowed her to go home for the afternoon, reminding her to keep a mask in place for the protection of her young child. He watched nurses lifting her feeble body into the car with her husband, fully expecting that the efforts would kill her and she would not return to the hospital. Yet she came back Christmas night with a bit of a smile, and she did not die. She lingered and remained, hovering over Sheol and mercilessly dancing with death. Through New Year's, through January, she hung on beyond all possible human strength and expectation. In fact, during February, she began to sit up again and eat a bit. Some color even returned to her cheeks. The medical staff was astounded, and her doctor could claim no part in her progress. Then the nausea hit, worse than before, and this was atypical. There were no medical histories that included nausea this late in the ravages of a tuberculosis. The doctor ordered a blood test, and it revealed the cause. The wasted woman was pregnant. During the few Christmas hours with her husband and child, she had come to be with child. Her doctor was perturbed. The nursing staff incredulous, but she was alive, and so was a tiny Christmas baby in her womb. And that was when the miracle began to happen. For as the Christmas child grew, its body expanded in the cavity of her womb and pushed her diaphragm up against her leaking tuberculoid lungs. The pressure closed some holes, and the flow of protective hormones accelerated healing and strengthening. By March, it was clear that this woman would live and not die. And by April, she was able to go home. And by summer, she was strong enough to return to full and healthy living. In September, the child conceived on Christmas was born. The baby that saved its mother entered the world. Jesus came, and the birth of that Christmas baby, Jesus, saves us in surprising and unexpected ways. But that's only half of the good news. Jesus came and he will come again. Say that with me. Jesus came and he will come again. Now let's emphasize the word will as we say it one more time. Jesus came and he will come again. Not as a baby in a manger, but as a glorious king in the clouds. When? We don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. What we can know is that sadly many will miss out on his second coming, just as many were oblivious to his first coming. We know that none of us have to miss out because none of us are without excuse. All of us tonight in this service, through message and scripture and song, will hear the good news of Jesus who came and who will come again. Titus exclaims that in verse 13. He says, "We live in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Why will he come again? Well, he won't leave us here. Jesus will come again to bring this world and its fallenness to a close, to give us total victory over sin and evil and death, to bring about a new heaven and a new earth that will be more glorious than we could ever imagine. Eternity in the presence of God with our Savior, Jesus Christ. If the work of his coming at that first Christmas has not yet been applied to your life or mine, then it's now is the time to hear the good news of Christmas and respond to the Savior in faith, because he is the giver of life, eternal life, and abundant life. 1 John 5:11 and 12 says, "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." And I ask you tonight, do you have life? I don't mean do you have breath, is your heart beating, but do you tonight on this Christmas Eve have true everlasting life through Jesus? Christmas for Christians is the great time of celebrating the gift of a Savior born in Bethlehem long ago. Christmas is a time of celebrating that that Savior will come again and make all things new. And on that glorious day, we will no longer live in the land in between his first and his second coming. When he comes again, just as when he came in Bethlehem, the angels will sing and rejoice. The star that lit the Bethlehem sky will be replaced by the light of the Lamb. The welcoming party of shepherds and wise men will be replaced with saints that have gone before us and angels who wait in heaven for that day when the Father prepares for Jesus to return and make all things new. Jesus came and he will come again. Revelation 22:12 contains his own words. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I will give to everyone according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." On this holy night, as we continue in worship, as we leave this place, as we celebrate Christmas tomorrow, may each of us receive and celebrate the gift of life, the new life and abundant life that Jesus left heaven to come to earth to give to us. And may we say with expectation and anticipation, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, with joy and thanksgiving, we gather as your people. We have come to hear again the timeless story of Christ's birth. In the excitement of this night, quiet our hearts that we may know the peace and fullness of this holy time. Shine, O light, in the darkness of our world. Sing, O angels, in the stillness of our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those God favors. This we pray in the name of the Child of Bethlehem. Amen.
Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here. Until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.